What seems to emerge here is at least the potential of Jews and Christians trying to speak to each other in a different way. Pico does convert some Jews, but he's not interested in converting here. What he's interested in doing is studying Judaism to replenish, to energize Christianity itself. In other words, here is a new approach to Judaism. Judaism is to be encountered as a resource for Christian spirituality. And thus, this initiates a process which is quite significant in the early modern period of not only Christians studying the Kabbalah, but Christians studying Hebrew texts of all kinds, exegetical, legal, moralistic, and so on, and encountering these texts as a vehicle of enriching their own culture. We see, therefore, a kind of Philo-Semitism along with the anti-Semitism. In other words, we should not forget about the Inquisition and the difficult period which Christians are treating Jews in violent ways at the same time. This encounter between Pico and his Jewish associates suggests a very interesting change in context. Let me describe in our remaining minutes the latter part of the 16th century, because there seems to be a radical transformation that takes place after this first encounter between a group of Jewish intellectuals, as we suggested in Pico's world and the world of Mantua and several other places. By the middle of the 16th century, the Catholic Church begins to respond to a series of challenges, beginning with Martin Luther's assault on Christianity, the discovery of a new world, the need for a new Christian mission, all kinds of challenges which create in the 16th century tremendous tensions within the Christian world. One way in which this is expressed is what is usually called the Catholic Reform or the Counter-Reformation. One of the direct results of the Jewish community is a series of assaults coming from the papacy. The papacy that had been relatively benign, as we saw, had been open to Jewish-Christian encounter previously, now seems to turn away from this approach and to take another approach. This approach is expressed in the burning of the Talmud in 1553. A kind of repetition of what we had seen already in Paris in the year 1240 that we described earlier in the case of Nicholas Donen. At the same time, the beginning of a new method of dealing with the Jews. That method is called ghettoization. As early as 1516, in the city of Venice, Venice had created a separate quarter for Jews to live as a means of restricting their mobility within the city, but somehow controlling them and hopefully having them see the truth of Christianity by their concentration. The ghetto emerges in Venice, therefore, as early as 1516. In fact, the word ghetto itself is probably from the Italian word gettare, or to pour. It was founded in an iron foundry where they poured iron. In other words, it was an area of Venice which was not particularly attractive, but ultimately became the Jewish quarter. The ghetto system, which had been imposed only on Venice, was soon to be imposed by edict of the papacy in 1554 throughout all of Italy, so that ultimately throughout the 16th and the 17th century, Jews are forced to leave these little small towns, their own places where they're living, and to move to larger places where they are concentrated within ghetto walls. Ghettoization, therefore, emerges in Italy, and the attempt here is to close off contact between Jews and Christians and to create a situation where Jews will be concentrated, turning within themselves, and will be essentially cut off from the outside world. This history of the ghettoization, of course, has a long, I mean, the word ghetto, right up until our own day, the Warsaw Ghetto and all kinds of the ghetto was used in a very open way to describe many kinds of segregated quarters. But here I mean something very specific. I mean the particular kind of creation that characterizes Italy in the 16th century. First, as I said, in Venice, a ghetto for Jews coming from Germany, from France, from Spain, and eventually becoming larger and larger. There is a new ghetto and an old ghetto and a newer ghetto and so on, because obviously the numbers of Jews continue to swell within Venice. But similarly, a Roman ghetto, and a ghetto in Mantua, and a ghetto in Parma, and a ghetto throughout almost every important city.